I'm curious, what'd you come up with? Do you want to share? Someone said, when I feel distance growing between a friend and me, I usually find a new friend. You know, may or may not be true, but it's funny. Any other thoughts come to mind? I know for some of us, it's run, hide, pretend it didn't happen, be quiet, it'll all get better. You know, there's all of those things that we're, because we're nice people. You know, we don't want to deal with the struggle, and so we sometimes squelch it. Well, I want to talk today about what forgiveness really is. And let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious God, I just thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to gather together in your name. And God, I know we come in the midst of a lot of busyness this week. Our kids have either just started school or are getting ready to start school, and there's so many things happening in our lives as schedules kick back into high gear, and it's just hard to get back into the flow. But God, for this moment, for these few minutes, please just open our hearts and open our minds and open our spirits. Just slow us down so that we can hear you speaking to us today. All of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we started this series about 4 weeks ago. This is the third, but last week we interrupted this series for a Sunday. I'm going to have our youth present to you what happened on their mission trips, and I hope that was a really inspiring time for you to just kind of see the grace and mercy and presence of God at work in the lives of our young people. And my little commercial is, if you like that, and if you like working with the youth, please see me. We always have a place for you. You don't need to be a parent. We love having empty nesters being involved in the youth ministry. Kids need connection with all of us of many different generations. So if you'd like to be a part of our youth ministry, it doesn't have to be an every week thing, but if you'd like to be part of it, I hope that you'll just see me. Send me an email. If you tell me today, I'll probably forget before Monday morning, but just shoot me an email and let me know that you want to be a part of that. And back to the sermon on forgiveness. When I prepare for these series, oftentimes what I do is just Google a word. You know, you just look for sermons and other ideas about the topic that we're going to be doing. And so I Googled forgiveness, and I got, in typical internet hyperbole, a video of the greatest sermon illustration about forgiveness ever. At least that's what it advertised. That's what it was. It is a pretty good illustration. It's a video of a pastor who's telling this story to his congregation. And the story he tells is of a couple that come into his office one day, and they tell him that their marriage is in jeopardy. They're struggling with their marriage. And they came to their pastor to get some advice about how they could reconcile, how they could make things better, or maybe just to get the blessing of the pastor that it's okay to go their separate ways. Whatever they were looking for that day, the pastor began to draw it out of them. He asked them, like, what's going on in your marriage that makes you feel like that you're just going your separate ways? And when they started to get into specifics, it wasn't the biggies. I mean, it wasn't money, sex, or kids. You know, they're usually the things. It was little stuff. He snores. She doesn't put gas in the car. You know, he doesn't clean up after himself. She's always on the phone. And it became very clear to the pastor that what was going on here was, it was just the cumulative effect of all of this little nonsense that had been piling up over the years that needed to go. And so he did a little counseling with them. His counseling was this. He gave each of them a pad and a pen and sent them to opposite corners of the room. And he said, I want you on the piece of paper to write down every offense. I mean, every time the other person ever made you mad, hurt your feelings, did something you didn't like, write it down. And he sent them to their corners, and that's what they did for quite a while. And they wrote, and they wrote, and they wrote. When they were done, the pastor welcomed them back, and he said, are you sure you wrote it all down? And they looked at their lists and went, yeah, okay, I wrote it all down. And he said, good, follow me. They left the office, went down the hall towards the sanctuary, only they never made it to the sanctuary. He stopped short just outside the men's room, opened the door, and invited the couple in. They went to the men's room, went to a particular stall, stood over the toilet, and the pastor said, drop your pieces of paper in the toilet. They didn't want to. They wanted to hold on. But reluctantly, after a while, they did, and the pastor flushed. And I don't know about you, but I have this mental image of them just watching it, you know, kind of go down as those things went away. The pastor then, without saying a word, just led them from the stall out back into the hallway and back to his office. And there in his office, he said to them this, that is forgiveness. If you want to talk about this stuff again, if you want to punish your partner, feel free to go get your piece of paper. Now, not a counseling technique I will borrow anytime soon, but I like his point. I like his point a great deal, that it needs to go. Those hurts that continue to just pile up on us, those wounds that continue to stay open, need to go. When we talk about forgiveness, I would guess if I asked you in this room privately, if there is someone that you can think of right now who you need to forgive, who has hurt you in some way, every hand in the room would go up. We all deal with this on some level, because it's difficult to live together in community. It's one of the joys. One of the joys is that we live with people. But at times, it's not easy to live with people. We have an ability to hurt one another. We have an ability to push one another's buttons. You know, we have an ability to accidentally or sometimes intentionally do or say the thing that caused the other pain. And sometimes it happens in marriages like this couple. Sometimes it happens in the classroom when something is said and it's supposed to be a joke, but it hurts. It happens at work where someone might be condescending to us. It happens when a friend lies to us, even though they swear they did it to protect our feelings. Gossip, questionable ethics, threats, physical harms, emotional abuse, neglect. I mean, the list could go on and on and on. There are big things and little things in our lives every day that hurt us. And we need at times, we need to let them go. What do we do with them? As Christians, we find ourselves conflicted. We find ourselves conflicted because we read the Bible and the Bible says, forgive. We're supposed to forgive them. On the other hand, we go, that can't be right because it hurt and they need to pay. Something has to happen here. This isn't fair. This isn't right. Something is seriously wrong. As I've shared this series called Radical Forgiveness, one of the things that I've become more and more aware of is just how hard it is for us to be able to let our hurts go. I've had several people talk to me in the last couple of weeks as we've been doing this thing on forgiveness. And in essence, I mean, this is way oversimplifying the conversations that we've had, but in essence, they've come to me to say, really, me? Let me tell you my story. I don't really have to forgive them, do I? And I would really like to say to them, you know, you're justified in holding on to your anger. Yes, those relationships should remain broken. Yes, that person is a jerk and God doesn't like them either. I mean, that would be nice to say. That's what they want to hear. But that's not what the Bible tells us. I'm so happy that God is a forgiving God when it applies to me. I am so glad God doesn't keep a tally of all of my mistakes and all of my sins. I am so glad that I can go to God and say, God, I really messed this up. And God doesn't say, well, now you've got some work to do before I love you again. No, it doesn't work that way. God just loves me through it all and forgives and accepts me. I love that part. But when I'm hurt, I don't want that God dealing with that guy. I want the God of wrath and judgment to go get him. That's what I want. He shouldn't do that to me, but he should do that to them. And so it's harder to accept that forgiveness of the other. 2 weeks ago, I preached this sermon that I called the three-word sermon. And the three words were, you are forgiven. And we talked about how much we want to hear that number two in the top three things that we most sincerely want to hear uttered to us. Remember, they were, I love you, I forgive you, and supper is ready. If you weren't here, yeah, let that sink in. But I love you, I forgive you. We want to hear those words, I forgive you. But it's so hard when we realize that other person who hurts us, God forgives them too. So I think we have this conflict over what it means to be forgiven. Most of us were taught and consequently believe the old adage that says, forgive and forget, as if forgiveness is pretending that it never happened, that we shouldn't have been hurt by it to begin with, and to allow ourselves to be vulnerable and victimized by the same person time and time again. That is not the case. I want to read to you this morning for our scripture lesson a very familiar passage of scripture, but before it, I want you to hear what comes before the familiar passage. This is Matthew chapter 18, and I'm going to begin with verse 15 and read through verse 25. And Jesus and his disciples are having a conversation about living life together. And it starts with a whole conversation about who's the greatest in the kingdom, and Jesus says the child is. And then if anybody leads the child astray, you know, that's a terrible thing. Don't do that to other people. He talks about people who tempt us in sin. And then he gets to this in verse 15. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out that fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you're not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. And you probably remember from other sermons when we talk about Gentile and tax collector, that's in that category of sinner, which means out of the church. I mean, he's talking about if they go there, let them go. Let him go. And then he says this, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. And now the familiar part. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. Or your Bible might have a footnote that says 70 times 7, and the Greek can be rendered either way. It doesn't matter whether it's 77 or 70 times 7. It's a number big enough. That's what Jesus is getting at. It's a big number. And I would guess that most people who've never come to church or never read the Bible know that 77 times part of the Bible. And we know that we're supposed to forgive and forgive and forgive. But did you catch what happened earlier in that passage? Jesus says, if somebody offends you, oh, just let it go. Like, no, that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, if somebody offends you, confront them with it. And I want you to hear this process that he advocates because I think it's one we should use today. If somebody hurts you, confront them with the hurt when you're alone. Let them know that they hurt you. And Jesus says, if you're reconciled, fantastic, move on. Then he says, if that doesn't work, step two is bring some friends along and get three or four of you to go and have this same conversation and say, you hurt me when you did X. And if they were reconciled, great. If not, step three, and this is where it gets scary, tell the church. Tell the church what happened. And in essence, I hear it as saying, let the church arbitrate your disagreement and find out what's really going on here and have this conversation. And Jesus says, if you're reconciled, wonderful. If not, in essence, Jesus says, cut them loose. Let them go. I mean, don't continue to do this. And I want you to hear this loud and clear. If you are a victim, it's not Christian to continue to be victimized. You're not being righteous and holy because you allow somebody to continue to hurt you over and over and over again. That is not what Jesus is advocating. Forgiveness is not the same thing as putting yourself in a dangerous situation. Don't do that. What Jesus then goes on to say is answer Peter's question. Peter asks the question that all of us want answered. Okay, Jesus, when's enough enough? When do I stop? How many times do I really have to forgive somebody? And he offers the number 7. Now, Peter is being extraordinarily generous when he says 7. The conventional wisdom of the rabbis was 3. Someone offends you 3 times, you got to forgive them 3 times. The 4th time they do it, it's on. Right? We don't have to forgive anymore. We're good. Okay? Peter doubles it and adds 1. 7. Generous. He is trying very hard to be generous. And I imagine when Peter says that, he expects Jesus to go, not 7, like 5. Let's say 5. Right? You know, I mean, it's a little more, but it's not, you know, it's outrageous. And then Jesus comes back with instead 77, or worse, 70 times 7, 490. Which means, of course, all of us need to get better at record keeping. Every day, go home and get a ledger and mark down who hurt you. And when you get to 491, it's on, right? No, of course that's not what Jesus is talking about. That's why we don't care if it's 77 or 490. What Jesus is saying is, let go, Peter. Stop keeping track. I mean, like that couple who kept track of every little thing that had happened in their relationship and let it accumulate till they thought their marriage was falling apart. Flush it, Peter. Let it go. It doesn't have to hold on to you. You see, I think our issue is that we don't understand what forgiveness is. I don't buy forgive and forget. I'll just tell you that. I think forgive and remember. You can do those things. Remember the hurt that the person's done to you. Remember that you don't have to be that victim anymore, but you can still forgive. A pastor that I read recently talked about forgiveness, and he wrote this. He said, here are a few things forgiveness does not mean. Hear this. It does not mean approving of what someone else did. It does not mean pretending that evil never took place. It does not mean making excuses for other people's bad behavior. It doesn't mean justifying evil so that sin somehow becomes less sinful. Oh, it wasn't that bad. It doesn't mean overlooking abuse. It doesn't mean denying that others tried to hurt you repeatedly. It doesn't mean letting others walk all over you. It doesn't mean forgetting the wrong that was done. It doesn't mean pretending that you were never hurt. It doesn't mean that you must restore the relationship to what it was before. Forgiveness doesn't mean that there must be a total reconciliation as if nothing ever happened. It does not mean that you must tell the person that you have forgiven them. It does not mean that all the negative consequences of the actions are canceled. Now, if you were with us for the first week in this series, you heard me talk a little bit about Bishop Desmond Tutu. I mean, he said, forgive and forget. That's not forgiveness. That's amnesia. You're just pretending it didn't happen doesn't make it better. Forgiveness is something else. And we talked about it being restorative justice. It's not justice in the sense of somebody's got to pay, but it's restorative justice in that the world becomes just. We restore the relationships to the best of our ability. That's our goal as Christian people, to become what God created us to be in Genesis 2. When we learn to live together in community. When we were on vacation several weeks ago, near our hotel, there was this series of shops, and it was really kind of a nice place to just walk down. And actually, they weren't shops. They were old houses that had been converted into shops. And, you know, they were filled with trinkets and knickknacks and, you know, just nonsense stuff to me. I know it's important to others. You know, candles and all of those things that you just kind of fill your house with. And we walked through on a slow afternoon. And one of the houses, all of them had been renovated to become shops except for one. One of the shop owners, I think, was really clever in that they kept the house, and they put the living room stuff in the living room, which was really cool. And they put the bathroom stuff in the bathroom, and in the kitchen they had still set up with the sink was there, and they even had one of those old-fashioned refrigerators with a latch on the door, you know, that made you know this was old, and had kitchen stuff in the kitchen, and on the refrigerator, they displayed magnets. You know, those cool little refrigerator magnets. And since I wasn't interested in much else, I lingered around the magnets just to kind of see what was there. And one particularly caught my eye, and I wish I'd have purchased it, but I didn't. But it just simply says, black magnet has these words on it: let go or be dragged. American proverb. Now, I'm not sure that's a proverb, but I like it. Let go or be dragged. When I think about forgiveness, I think this is what we're talking about. I mean, let go of the hurt or get dragged into the sewer to go find your piece of paper. Let go of the hurt or get dragged along. I mean, to me, this is what our forgiveness is all about. It's about letting go of the hurt, letting go of what's happened in our lives. Jesus says we need to be so forgiving that we lose track, whether the number is 77 or 490. And I don't think Jesus was trying to turn Peter or us into a doormat. I think he was trying to free us, for what God has in store for us. Because one of the things I read in the Gospels over and over and over again is that our relationships with one another really matter to God. Do you hear that? Our relationships with one another really matter to God. When we pray together the Lord's Prayer, for example, what do we say about forgiveness? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, some theologians will say every time we pray that prayer, we're limiting the forgiveness we're asking God to give us. We're saying, God, give us the forgiveness we're willing to give to somebody else. The way we relate with one another matters to God. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells those who are listening this little quick story. He says, if you go to church, let me read it to you right. Let me not make it up. I'm sorry. He says this, when you are offering your gift at the altar, which in other words, when you come to church, when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and sister, and then come and offer your gift. It's as if Jesus is saying, you know, go fix that, then come to church. Right? That doesn't replace it. Go fix that. It matters to God. In Matthew 25, I have this tremendous parable of the sheep and the goats. And Jesus says that which you do to others, you're doing to him. There's a relationship, a correlation between the way we treat one another and our relationship to God. Finally, in this morning's passage, we hear Jesus giving his followers a blueprint for fixing a broken relationship because it matters. I mean, our relationships with others affect our relationship with God. When we're struggling with one another, when we're holding on to that mountain of stuff, our pathway to God's presence and peace is blocked. When Jesus tells Peter to forgive 490 times, he isn't trying to turn him into a victim. He's telling him, let go or be dragged. Now, I lay this out pretty matter-of-factly and fairly logically as if I have this all figured out and nailed down. Let me confess, I don't. This is one of those sermons that's for me. And sometimes they're the better ones. Because I need to hear this about those in my life who have wounded me and hurt me. And I think I've forgiven them, but every once in a while, ooh, it comes back. And all the anger is right there. I'm comforted by a couple of quotes. One I found, it says this, forgiveness is a whole lot harder than any sermon makes it out to be. Including this one. It's not easy. The other is from C.S. Lewis. It says this, last week in prayer I discovered, or at least I think I did, that I suddenly was able to forgive someone that I'd been trying to forgive for over 30 years. Well, it's only been 4 or 5 for me, so that's good, right? You know, I can deal with it. 30, I mean, we make it sound like it's just like, hey, let's just forgive. It's not an easy thing for us to do. In fact, I think it's a supernatural thing. I don't think it's something we will ourselves to do. I think it's something we need to pray to be able to do. God, work through me so that the forgiveness you have given me, I can offer to the people around me. the way you no longer hold my sins against me. May I no longer be hurt by the things that other people have done to me. May I find that way to forgive. See, I think in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus didn't mean that we were limiting our forgiveness. I think he was praying, God, may we forgive as much as we've been forgiven. May we be that good at forgiving those around us. May we let go so that we're not dragged. Pray today for yourself, for those around you, that you might know the forgiveness of God and offer it to those around you. Let's pray together. Yes, God, we know that this is no easy task. And it even runs against what our brains tell us we should be doing. And so, God, we pray for your intervention into our lives. Give us forgiving hearts. Help us to throw away the lists and the ledger, not forgetting what others have done, but not to continually be hurt by it either. Free us, O God. Free us to be your people, to live in your presence, to walk in your kingdom, and to share your good news with the world around us. All of this we ask in the name of the one through which we have received our forgiveness, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.